Welcome to New Beginnings. We thank you for being here. We love you in the Lord. This sermon this week, discover who you are, that the Lord is our helper. It's connected to last week. So if you weren't here last week, you really need to get last week. This sermon, the beautiful blonde wouldn't tell you this, but it's not as heavy as last week. As a matter of fact, there's some good cake in this one. So I hope you receive this, and I encourage you to listen to these messages over and over so you can grasp them. And it's more important than to just say amen on Sunday, but to grab it and walk in it and to make it you. Let the Holy Spirit make it you, make it personal to you. We covered last week that there's a difference between Old Testament and New Testament. The New Covenant's completely different than the Old Covenant. There's more of a difference than just the blank sheet in your Bible separating the two. And it has to do with the way God deals with people, okay? And there's certain scriptures that really seem to conflict the teaching that we're doing about spirit, soul, and body, and that your spirit's complete in the Lord, and it's totally and completely saved already when you accept Christ. He comes to dwell in your spirit in the new man. Right there, it's you and Jesus, and it's wall-to-wall Jesus. There's some scriptures in the Old Testament that, you know, are pretty tough. Like, well, what about the clean hands and a pure heart? But that's when, in the Old Testament, when God was imputing sin. And we described that. I'll touch on that a little bit again this week. But in the New Testament, he does not impute or charge you with sin. Okay, it's not held against you once you receive Christ, okay, because it was put on Jesus. Amen. Okay, he took our sin, we get his righteousness. What a deal. Okay, that's New Covenant. And it's so good, it's like it's almost unbelievable it's so good, but it's true. Okay, Galatians 3:13 talks about this. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, from the doom of the law and its condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us. Do you see that? This is what he did for you. He took the curse for you. For it is written in scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree and is crucified. Now, there's a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament that refer to, like, for example, Deuteronomy 28:15-68, I'm not going to read that, all right? But there's a lot of references there, and it boils down to this, that we're blessed if we do the law, we're cursed if we don't. That's the way it's presented, Old Testament. This is Old Covenant. But now, since I've been redeemed through Jesus, it's by faith that I receive his works counts as my righteousness. Isn't that great? In other words, it's not by our report card, it's by his. Okay? And Jesus took away the curse. And he did this for me, and he did this for you. He took the curse away. All right? And so now we can choose life. We can choose joy. We can choose blessing because of what Jesus has done. He paid the price for it. All right? Now, for example, I think I shared this in the prayer series, but a couple of years ago in this building, we had some critters running around in this building that were uninvited, okay? And, man, we spent a lot of money on trying to get the critters out of here, and it wasn't victorious. And so I was just exasperated and aggravated about the critters. And one night during prayer meeting, Pastor Don is praying, and he just takes authority over the critters. And he rebukes the critters. And he commands authority, he commands the critters to leave and not come back. And I'm going, wow! Disciple! Why didn't I think of that? Thank God he did. Boy, there's power and agreement. We all jumped on that wagon. And the good news is, in case there's some pictures in your mind, there's no critters here anymore. Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay, but the deal is that in part of the curses, James, or the latter part of Deuteronomy, or the middle of Deuteronomy, it talks about the pest being a pest as a part of the curse. Okay? And so look, whatever, and there's a lot of things in there that are part of the curse. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about your business. I'm talking about relationships. All kind of stuff. And so I want to tell you something. If you begin to see or notice a curse being manifested in your life or against your house or against your church, it's illegal. Okay? Because Jesus has become a curse to take the curse away from us. You see that? And so that's where we begin to pray against the mountain and speak the word of faith against the mountain and pray that the mountain, whatever it is, that curse be taken up and thrown into the depths of the sea. Or we speak to that lying curse of the fig tree, whatever it is, however it's manifested, and we renounce it and take authority over it and command it to go. All right? Now, look, since Jesus took away the curse for me and for you, we can choose life. We don't have to operate in curse. He became a curse for us. We can choose life. We can choose joy. We can choose blessing. And when you read the first part of that Deuteronomy 28 and see all the blessings that come, look, Jesus fulfilled the law and took the curse for us. And so I want to tell you, we get the blessings because it's the blessing of Father, but Jesus won them in our behalf by his righteousness. I'm telling you, that's good news. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for divine health. Thank you, Lord, for divine health. Thank you, Lord, for divine prosperity. Thank you, Lord, for divine provision. For your favored success. For your blessing. For your harvest. For your protection. I'm telling you, it's all in there. Now, that's exciting stuff. Well, Brother Tim, are you walking in all that? No, but I'm running toward it. Amen. Okay? Sometimes it feels like I take a few steps forward and a couple steps back. But that's what we've described as part of the battle. But I want to tell you, our part is to say yes to what Jesus has done and pursue, ask, seek, knock. And you know what? If he won it for us, he deserves what he paid for. Okay. Now, he became a curse for us. He bought our freedom. Now we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's the way New Testament puts it. We're going to cover that. I can now say that I'm redeemed from all the curses through Jesus. Okay? Now you say, Brother Tim, that's taking it a little bit too far. Okay, you're praying against critters and taking authority over critters, you know. Well, I want to tell you, if you don't believe it, it won't work for you. If you believe that you deserve the curse, okay, and won't stand in faith against it, won't appropriate what Christ has done for you, then you know what? You could settle for that. But I want to tell you, we're asking our church, let's be a believing people. Let's reach for the more. Hey, let's cast out the nets. Okay? Let's hear God and do what he says. Let's apply it. Okay? Look, if we don't walk in all of it between now and heaven, I want to tell you, it's going to be okay in heaven. But I want to tell you, I think that those who have a heart for walking in all that God has for them, that are reaching, that are seeking, that are believing, I want to tell you, I think you hear a whisper of, well done. Because I want to tell you, when we believe, and we see this from the Old Testament, blessings of people that didn't walk in all that God promised, it was still counted unto them as righteousness because they believed. Amen. So I want to tell you, let's put both feet down and let's believe and see what God does. Let God be God, okay? If we're going to fail, let's fail shouting and believing. I don't even like the sound of that one. Okay, I back that one up. But let's be free. We're free to receive what he is in us. This is what this series is about, is that he's in us. All of him, all of the Lord is in us. It's not a part of us. He's in us, in our spirit. What he is in us can now come through us. That's a part of what the Christian life is about. So whatever multiplies the kingdom in you builds the church because we are divinely connected. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. You see? A new creature altogether. Somebody, where is that at? Somebody answer. In the Spirit. Thank you, First Lady. Praise the Lord. The old, the previous moral, spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Someone say the fresh and new. Okay, that's the kingdom. That's the new wine. Okay, right there. And fresh and new has come. That is talking about the blessings of God. It's talking about the spiritual blessings that he won for us, that the blessings he has in store for us, his desire for us, his love for us, to be manifested in all kind of ways that we can't even dream. I've not seen. Okay. Hey, ears not heard. We cannot even imagine all the things he has for us that Jesus has paid for. This is a part of the discovery. Okay? It's to discover all that he is in us and all that he has for us. But all things are from God. Now, that's very, very important. Okay? You say all things are from God. Now, there are some people, Pastor James, who take, in my mind, they take sovereignty too far. Okay, because they have a way of, like insurance companies, blaming God for everything that goes wrong. Blaming God for man's wrong decisions. Okay, and blaming God for stuff the devil does. Okay, I think that's going too far. I'm going to do something on that in the future. I've been chewing on it for a couple of years. I'm going to do something on that in the future. But not today. But it goes like this. This is not referring to everything that happens in this earth is from God. It's not saying that everything that comes into your life is from God. Not every person that comes in your life is from God. But it's referring to the verse right in front of it. It's referring to the fresh and new. What he's done inside of you. What he has for you. That's what it's referring to. And so some people will take scripture and just put everything on it that they want. When it talks about all things, it's not talking about everything in the whole world. It's talking about the fresh and new. That's what he's referring to. And somebody say amen. Amen. That means I can move along. Okay. But who through Christ reconciled us. That's past tense. It's already done. He's already reconciled us to himself. Received us into his favor. Brought us into harmony with himself. Gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Wow, that's good. And so that God's given all things to us. Has he given war? No. Has he given poverty? No. Has he given mass school killings? Shootings? No. Okay. So, oh man, I can't go there. But what he's talking about is the fresh and new. Now, that's what we need to be focused on, because it's talking about the blessings in Christ. Every good gift, Scripture says, comes from him. And that it's already done. As a matter of fact, he's made us a friend of God. All right? Don't you like that? 1 John 4:17, in this union and communion with him. And I want to tell you this, there's a reason why we taught for a lot of weeks. How many weeks? 20 weeks or something on enjoying the presence of the Lord. If you were caught that and were practicing enjoying the love life with the Lord, this will help you in this series. If you catch this series, it will help you in the next series to find out how to receive his rest. Are anybody interested in his rest? Okay, I want to tell you there's a whole lot that God's able to do when we come to the place of faith and rest and receive what all he's done. Right now we're trying to find out what all he's done. Okay, but when you practice receiving the love life of the Lord and walking in love life with the Lord, look what happens here. Hey, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us. Somebody say, I'm mature in it. That we may have confidence for the day of judgment. I want to tell you, there's a great need for believers to walk in confidence, to be personally convinced that they're loved and that they're accepted by the Lord. That goes a long way. For the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. 2 Corinthians 5:18. But all things, somebody say fresh and new, are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. This is a part of what we're saying. Even your salvation, being reconciled to God, is not just for you. It's not just for you. It's to bring him honor and glory. It's for others. Okay? Hey, that forgiveness, that love, that peace, that joy, hey, that new creation that you are, is not just to say for me and no more. It's for others. He designed it. His purpose is for love to flow for others. Okay? The King James Version says, hath reconciled. Already done. Now, not if you do this or you don't do this. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. Hey, it's done. It's reconciled. He made us friendly. He made us friendly. He caused us to be in harmony. And that word harmony is kind of like orchestra. It's in tune. It's in harmony with him. This is God. God's wrath was put on Jesus. Yeah. I say that because in John 15, he says he calls us friends now. Okay, at one time we were enemies with God. Even while we were enemies, he did this for us. But now we're called friends. We put on Jesus. Now we're friendly with God. Isn't that great news? God sees you in spirit. He sees Jesus. Listen. Deep down, he's pleased with you. You don't know what kind of week I had. This is what Bible says. He's pleased with you. God says you're awesome. He says resurrection power's in you. He says, as Jesus is, so are you. That's what he says. Now look, we may be more aware of sadness and failure and disappointment. I want to tell you, humans get there. Christians get there. Human Christians get there. Okay? But we don't have to stay there. Amen. All right? We need to agree with God. This is part of where the battle is. When you find yourself not being what he says you are, then by faith, let's go there. Okay? Let's go there. We need to agree with God. How can we walk in the Spirit unless we agree with God? We need to be in agreement with what he says. In spite of our circumstances, we need to turn and agree with him. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:18 again. One more time. Fresh and new, all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ, he's reconciled us to himself. I'm telling you, you spend this week meditating on this scripture, okay, it'll mean so much to your life. He received us into his favor. He brought us into harmony with himself. Gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by our words, by his words through us, by his works in us and through us, we might aim to bring others into reconciliation. That's good news. Ministry of reconciliation. You know what it is? It's the grace message. It's the love message. It's saying this, that God's not mad. Okay? He loves you. He wants you. He paid for you. He's forgiven you. He wants you to receive it. Now, the next verse, 2 Corinthians 5:19, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men. The words imputing. Everybody say imputing. And holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. And committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. Boy, that is so good. This is what God done. This is his plan. This is what he did for us. He not imputing their trespasses unto them. He made us friendly. He didn't charge us with our sins. Aren't you glad? Free. Not charged. Jesus said, I paid it all. Okay? If Jesus paid for it, then quit trying to suffer until you feel like you deserve better. That there is some religious mindset that goes with that we've preached against. But your sufferings don't pay for it. Okay? That's a false humility, a type of condemnation. A little example of this. I think I told you the other day that Pastor Tony and I were out and spending some time with him, loving on him. And it came to the end of the meal, and the ticket came, and I said, "Now, Pastor, I got this." Now, with some people, I don't have to say that, you know. They assume I have it. But with Pastor Tony, he's something else, man. I tell you, I love him, and he tries to love on me in a lot of ways. But I have to tell him, "Now, Pastor Tony, I'm getting this, okay?" Okay, Pastor. Well, we're sitting in fellowshipping a little bit more, drinking a little tea, and the next thing I know, he reaches over across the table and grabs it and takes off running. Okay, now he's a lot skinnier, a lot younger, a lot faster than I am. I didn't even get out of the chair, though. Okay, and he went and paid for it. Now, initially, I was wanting to love on him. But see, he loved on me. Now, do you think that maybe I would have paid for it if I'd have felt bad all afternoon and just beat myself up all afternoon letting him grab that ticket, and I should have wrestled him, and I should have chased him down, and I should have made a scene, and oh, if I just felt bad all afternoon, you think it would be okay? Would I justify it? Would I earn the meal? No, then, you know, we don't do that with Christ either. Okay, that's religion. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we might receive mercy." I'm telling you, you can boldly come. And I want to tell you, when we do this, he loves it. He loves it. That's what he paid for, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Do you see that? I want to tell you, that's related to the fresh and new that he paid for us. And so I want to tell you something. I don't understand this whole thing about timing, but I want to tell you, our part is to believe the best and to believe for now and to trust God with the rest. And our part is to ask and to believe and to trust. Okay? Sometimes timing has more explanation than I'm able to explain. I don't know all about it, but I know what our part is. Look what the Word of God says here. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy for how we've messed up. And I want to tell you, you've got mud on your hands, come running to them. Don't wait till you clean them up all by yourself. Come running to him, even with mud on your hands. And you know what? We can receive mercy because that's part of what he paid for. Come boldly. Run to him, not from him. And when you need help in a timely situation, you need help in good time for every need. You think he meant every need? You think when the Bible says every need, it means every need? Listen to the way the Amplified puts this. Appropriate help and well-timed help. Look at that. Now, I want to tell you, calendar is not from our perspective, and the watch is not from our perspective, but I want to tell you, when God says it's appropriate, it's good. Amen. When God says it's well-timed, it's good. Amen. And look what Amplified brings out, coming just when we need it. All right, I want to tell you, let's believe for that. Okay? It's okay to believe for that. We're not going to offend God to believe for that. He tells us that. When we really believe this, we'll run to him boldly, even when we mess up. Our confidence in Jesus will rise. I'm not talking about confidence in self. I'm not talking about self-image. I'm not talking about self-confidence. I'm talking about confidence in Christ. Even when we mess up. I cannot approach him in the flesh and win. My flesh is not good. My flesh is a mess. My wife could explain it, but it would run out of time. My flesh is a mess. But what we're to do and what we all can do is approach him in the Spirit based on the truth of his Word. He loves it when we do this. That's true fellowship. That's true restoration. He says, renewal is mine, and I want to renew. Our spirit sealed. We love that because the real you, sin don't get in there. Even if your hands are muddy, sin don't get in the Spirit. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we're to approach him in the Spirit boldly. Hey, it goes something like this. Father, in spite of my stupidity, Thank you that I'm forgiven. Amen. Thank you that I'm loved. Thank you that I'm accepted. I receive the restoration blessing because you care for me. Okay? It's nothing too big or too small. He cares for us. And so this grace truth that we're talking about, it doesn't free you to sin. It sets you free from sin. Okay? I think it was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Is that right, James? You recognize that? England? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Great minister, great writer. Amazing. One of the things that he said was this, is that he said, if we're not getting challenged when we preach grace, like Paul was, with people accusing us of saying that, so we can just go sin? You know? Well, since he paid for it, we can just go sin? Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, if we're not getting challenged the same way Paul was, we may not be preaching the same message of grace to the extent that it is. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Okay? Did I keep you on that? All right, his love captures us. And we respond with love back. And we know, when we're confident about how forgiven we are in spite of ourselves, loving him back is a grateful response. It's a love response. It's a protocol response. It's the right response. Anything else but loving him back, okay, is wrong. Becomes self-centered, selfish. We twist it. But we're free to enjoy him. Now, look, this ought to do you good. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Here we go. For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, has appeared for the deliverance from sin. Hey, from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin. Look at this. And the eternal salvation for all mankind. The grace of God has come forward. It's here. It's available. Hey, it's done its work for the freedom from the punishment of sin and the power of sin. You see that? Okay. Now look, it has trained us. Wait. Time out. What's it talking about when it says it? It's talking about the grace of God. And so I want to tell you, as you receive the grace of God, you see in here, you see what Jesus has done for you, all that he's provided by grace, you begin to walk in it, you begin to receive it, you begin to recognize here that I'm loved, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, I'm complete in Jesus, I'm loved by the Father, loved by the Son, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, there's a power source within me which is able to do abundantly beyond all I ask or think, and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Hey, when you begin to practice that, and you begin to walk even baby steps in this into your soul and to affect your body and to affect other people, because that's where it's supposed to end up. The grace, as you walk in it, trains you. It has an effect on you. What is the effect? How does grace train us, develop us, mature us to reject and renounce all godliness? Ungodliness. To reject and renounce all ungodliness. And worldly passionate desires. Does that sound like flesh to you? Yes. To live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. No, Brother Tim. When we get to heaven? No. It's talking about in this present world. This is what I'm telling you. You begin to walk in his grace. He grows you. He matures you. He trains you. You mature. That's what maturity is. He's the one that matures you. You begin to mature in the grace of God, walking in his presence and his power. And it comes to where, you know what? Hey, that fleshly stuff doesn't have the power of drawing power on you that it once had because you recognize that it's broken. Satan's a liar. Okay? I want to tell you, there's more grace available than the desire for flesh. More grace. Hey, look, the worldly desires, to renounce, to reject and renounce all ungodliness. At one time, we hugged it, ungodliness, because that was our former training. I don't know when you came to Christ, but I want to tell you, you were born into this. It was a part of you to grab the biggest cookie on the sheet. I used to get so aggravated. My boys' cookies would come out, and I'd think, I'm the biggest boy. I get the biggest cookie. Them little crumb grabbers would grab the biggest cookie off the plate. I should get the biggest one. You see what I'm saying? See, we don't have to be trained to do that. That's in us. Okay? But I want to tell you, we have to unlearn. Even when we receive Christ, we're a new creation on the inside. But this old flesh part of us is used to operating selfishly. Okay? And ungodliness used to come around, and we used to hug it and be a part of it. It still come around and say, remember me? Come on, let's hang a while. But when you walk in grace, it trains you to reject it. No. I choose Christ. I reject that junk in the name of Jesus. Here comes those thought patterns. No. I'm growing in grace. I know that I'm free to respond to Christ. I reject that junk in the name of Jesus. We renounce it. And those worldly desires, those passionate desires, they don't have the drawing power on us that they once had. Okay? I'm not saying that they quit coming. Okay. But we're able to live lives in this present world that's a whole lot more victorious. Holiness is a fruit of grace and love. There's such a difference between being free to serve Him as a love response versus serving Him because we're afraid of the consequences of not doing it, or we're afraid of, or we're trying to earn some favor to Him. For example, years ago, a little lady in our church, this little couple, had a baby on Saturday night. And I got the message. They left a message on my phone answering machine, which shows you how far back it was. And so Sunday morning, before church, because I'm up early anyway, I thought, you know, I'm going to run by there before church and just hug them and pray over them, bless them. I love to do that with little new moms and dads. And so I went by there and had just a short visit with them and blessed them. And I said, hey, when you guys come your first Sunday, be sure and give me a heads up with the little one, because we want to celebrate them and pray over them, dedicate them to the Lord, you know. And this dad said, preacher, I'm going to be there today. I said, what? I said, man, you've been up all night long, man. I said, man, you've been through. No, man, you just stay here and enjoy your family. Be at peace and enjoy your family and get you a good rest day. And I know you're probably going to go to work Monday. Get you a rest. He said, no. He said, God's been so good to me, I'm afraid not to go. Do you see? I mean, that just kind of sneaked up. He had a fear of not doing something, afraid that something bad might happen. Okay? You understand? Well, I'll tell you what, the enemy can just turn it every which way but loose to manipulate you, to come against you. Okay? Romans 5, look at this, verse 8. But God shows and clearly proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. Therefore, since we are now justified, acquitted, and made righteous and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood, how much more certain is it that we shall be saved by Him from the indignation and wrath of God? Okay, by Christ's blood, we've been justified and made righteous, and we're saved by Him from the wrath of God. He's not mad at you. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Hey, when you were reconciled, it was before you were even born, the works were done. Now, you might not have received it till 2018, but I want to tell you it was done before you were born, and you were born in sin. I want to tell you, while you were enemies, you were reconciled. to God through the death of his son, it is much more certain. Would somebody say much more certain? I think in Texas we'd say for sure, for sure. Now that we're reconciled, now that we've received it, okay, that you received the truth of Jesus, the Lamb of God, for the forgiveness of your sins, since you've received it, that we shall be saved daily, delivered from sin's dominion. And so I'm telling you, since you've received Christ, much more, for sure, if he loved you and saved you before while you were enemy, then for sure, since you've received him, that he will give you power daily sin. Power over daily sin. I'm telling you. How does he do that? Through his resurrection life that's in you. Resurrection life in you. Be released through your soul, to your body, and to others. I want to tell you, this is Jesus in you. So the power of sin has been broken. This daily sin that so easily besets us is a liar. Okay? It's saying that it has authority and power to rule, but Jesus has broken that. And so we don't have to daily run through the mud. You have a choice. Wow. I'm telling you, that's big stuff. His grace and power is much more certainly available since we were reconciled, to deal with sin's rule. This is what I'm saying. That drawing power of flesh gets weaker. That temptation gets weaker when we're responding to his grace. Because we recognize that you know, he paid the price for that too. I don't have to put up with that mess. Okay? Hey, all day long and all night long. Romans 5, 12 through 13. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as a result of sin, so death spread to all men. We understand that. No one being able to stop it or escape its power because all men sin. To be sure, sin was in the world before ever the law was given. But sin is not charged to men's account where there is no law. Now, boy, that's a very interesting statement that I have a couple of paragraphs of thoughts on that I can't share with you right now. I'll just share one sentence because this is for the future. But I want to tell you, before the law came out, even the godliest men that we read about in Scripture, you know, they did things, they practiced things that after the law they would have been put to death. Okay, well, I got your attention for the future. Okay. All right. Got your attention for the future. So, our old man before Christ, we were children of wrath. Through one man, by one man, that was Adam. But we became children of God by one man, through one man, by one man. And we accepted that. That's Jesus. Look, one more time. Can we do one more time? 2 Corinthians 5:18. Fresh and new. Somebody say the fresh and new. All those things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor. That's you right now. Brought us, if you've accepted Christ, brought us into harmony with himself, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is not to be kept to yourself. It's to be shared. Okay? It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. Not counting and holding against the men their trespasses, imputing, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation. We get to get in on what God's doing. Okay? This is the message of reconciliation, goes like this. Hey, your sins have been paid for. Okay? Repent of your sin. Turn to Christ. And by faith receive him. What his works have done, and receive his forgiveness. See, we're all ambassadors for him. And love draws more people to God than fear. Amen. Okay, I want to tell you. I tell you, you go on a little bit of a program and you see all the commercials about food on TV. My goodness. I don't think we even noticed them before. They're everywhere. But I want to tell you, we're a little spoiled in this country. Okay, but let me just say this. You find a new restaurant, you're an ambassador for it. Don't pretend you're not. Hey, man, I found this little Mexican place, man. And, well, it's good. They got the best queso, bro. They got the good chips and salsa. Woo! Man, you got to go. Matter of fact, you decide to go, call me. I'll go with you. We do that. We become an ambassador for the restaurant. What Christ has done is so much more valuable to you and to others. We're to be an ambassador, okay? And to tell people, hey, I know you're hurt, you're struggling. Let me tell you something. Jesus has paid the price for you to be touched. Jesus wants to touch you. He's already forgiven your sin. Would you repent and receive Him? And you can receive the forgiveness that He paid for. Okay? Ambassadors. I want to tell you, love draws more people to God than fear. Okay? If you've gone to a restaurant and there are critters running around the table, and you go and tell people, oh, they got great prices. I mean, you'll have to share the table with critters. But you ought to go. That's not going to promote attendance. That's not going to speak a desire. We were in a restaurant one time, Oklahoma. You know they're not in Texas. We were in a restaurant one time in Oklahoma, and I saw a little critter crawling on the wall. And I signaled to my son-in-law. I said, don't say no, don't do it. He looks over and he goes, look! Okay, well, the meal was over. Okay, what I'm trying to say to you is this. When you, as an ambassador for Christ, show yourself friendly. Describe the love of God. Describe the forgiveness of God. I was preaching out of state one time, and this was on a Saturday morning, and there was a professor there from the local Bible college, and people, and they were doing an outreach, and so I was there to, they wanted me to share with them that morning, and so I was out with them to do some evangelizing there in the neighborhood, the area, and there was this one guy, this preacher, and man, he would just, man, when he was evangelizing them, he was so intense, and he was so angry, and he was so mad, and he was almost setting them on fire in hell with his words, you know. And man, I'm looking at that saying, man, he representing God. It's scary. A little bit later, you know, he asked me, he said, well, what'd you think about our time? And I said, well, brother, you know, you were coming across really angry. He said, well, it's holiness of God. I said, well, you know, God's not mad anymore. Jesus took the wrath of sin. And the ministry of reconciliation is about the good news. The good news is good news. I want to tell you, according to Romans, there's an intuitive knowledge inside of us that we have sinned. I know some people claim they don't, but they're lying, deceived. But there's an intuitive knowledge in us. Look, they know they're sinners. It's good to tell them to repent. That's in the Bible. To turn from their sin and to turn to Christ. Okay, that's great. But the good news is good news. Let it be good news. Wow. More people are drawn to God by the goodness of God. You understand? Okay, in you, through you, talk about His goodness. Talk about His love. Talk about forgiveness. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Woo, running out of time here. Okay, watch me. Let's go quick. For our sake, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with and viewed as being in and examples of the righteousness of God. Now, I want to tell you, that's powerful right there. Okay? This is what Christ, He took our sin so that we could receive His righteousness. and we could be see ourselves in His righteousness and be examples to others of His righteousness. What we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with Him by His goodness. Do you see that? That starts now. We're made righteous here, not in heaven. We're made righteous here when you accept Christ. Ephesians 4:24, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, Godlike and true righteousness and holy. This is true in your spirit. You say, well, if you'd have seen me last week. Well, I want to tell you, our position doesn't always, our practice doesn't always line up with our position. Okay? More and more as we grow in it, better be, ought to be, should be. Romans 6:23. The wages which sin pays is death, but the bountiful free gift of God is eternal life through in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. God still does not wink at sin. Sin was judged. Jesus suffered and became sin for us. The wages of sin is death. That has never changed. Jesus received that death for us. God is just and holy, and He did judge our sin. He judged our sin upon Jesus. Okay? Now, Isaiah 52:14 says this. I'm not going to take time to read it. I'm just going to tell you. And it's His face, His form was marred more than any man. That's from the God judged sin. I want to tell you, as powerful as the play, the movie, Passion of Christ, as powerful, it doesn't come close. It was more than that. It was more than that. That bothered you? More than that. Isaiah 52:14, God judged sin. The sin, your sin, sin of the human race was put upon Him. There's a scene in John 12:28-29. And Jesus is talking about His crucifixion. Well, there it is. Jesus is talking about His crucifixion. And God speaks from heaven. This is another time that God's audible voice came from heaven. Okay? And God spoke from heaven and declared that He has received glory through Jesus, and He will receive glory through Jesus. And there were some people, though. I'm looking at the response, and there's the crowd of bystanders by. And some of them said, "Nah, I don't think that was a voice from heaven. It must have just been thunder." Okay? And there were some others that said, "Yeah, that was a voice from heaven. Maybe it was an angel." And so what I'm telling you is that some people believed it was a voice from heaven and some didn't. Let me tell you something about unbelief. All right? This is true about unbelief. You hear what you want to hear and you don't hear what you don't want to hear when you're parked in unbelief. This is why, as you're sharing the gospel and someone's parked in unbelief, you share the word with them. Hey, pray over them, let them go. All right? It's not your job to convince them. That comes between them and the Lord. But I want to tell you, someone parked in unbelief, and you say, "Well, if He would just speak out loud from heaven." Well, He did. Yeah. And the people in unbelief still didn't recognize it. "Well, it just must have been thunder." Right. Okay. And verse 30 and 32, I tell you what, show me verse 32. You got 32? Okay, I don't really have time for this either, do I? Okay, let me just tell you this in verse 32. Because Jesus is talking about judgment. Okay, He's talking about judgment. He's talking about being on the cross. His description is being on the cross. He's describing them that I'm going to be on the cross. And judgment is coming to me. And He says in verse 32, because He talks about judgment against earth enemy, judgment coming on Him. "And I, if and when I'm lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw and attract all men." Now there's a little question mark about that, because some translations don't have "men" in there. As a matter of fact, even it just says, "I will attract all." And even in the King James, it's in italics, which means it's a transliteration. They put that in there because they're trying to say, well, this is what he was talking about, most likely. But I want to tell you something. Whether men's in there or not, what he's talking about is that he's attracting all of men's sins, or the judgment of men's sins upon him. That's what the cross was for. Okay, now I know, I've said it before, the principle is true that if you praise the Lord, if you lift up the Lord, that he'll draw people to him. That's true principle. But they use this scripture, and that's really not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about the judgment of sin will be drawn upon Christ when he's lifted up on the cross. Not just for that generation, for all generations, for the whole world. Okay? And so he took all judgment of all sin. He drew sin, judgment of the whole world upon him. Okay? So, for our sake, 2 Corinthians 5:20, he made Christ virtually to be sin. I want to tell you, if I could show you this, he would just be, you know, bombarded. Every generation of sins being bombarded, poured into his being. So that in and through him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin. He took it on himself. God forsook him. Either Jesus paid it all or he didn't pay anything at all. He paid it all. And so it's a brand new day for us. I'm going to ask you to stand up because this will help me close when you stand. Look, we can be cleansed by Jesus. It's a new day. We can be cleansed by Jesus. Our fellowship with him is based on what Jesus did for you, not what you do for him. He loves you more than you can imagine. Now understand, I hope you do, that sin is still wrong. But we receive the forgiveness of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the joy, the peace, the life of Jesus. Our relationship with God is not based on our performance, it's based on his. And because of the forgiveness of Jesus, we have acceptance and love for him. We're free to love him, love him back. We're free to love others. We're free to love ourselves. We're free from the power of sin and the punishment of sin. It's not if you do sin, but if you do sin. If you do, when you do, is probably the best way to put it. Provision's been made. Amen. And when we catch this, revelation of this truth, releases you from condemnation. Okay? We don't deserve it. He earned it. Jesus paid for all of your sin and for all of his abundant life in you. That's the new and fresh that he paid for us to walk in. That's what new covenant is. I'll give you a little example here. Years ago, a lady from another state called me. She had heard me preach in the past, and she called me and said, I think she was sick, and she said, I'm calling you to ask you to pray over me. I respect you and, you know, your ministry, and I want you to pray over me. And she said, and by the way, I've already called so-and-so and so-and-so. And she named about 4 or 5 people in this nation that were big shots that she had made personal contact with and had them pray over her. Now, I want to tell you, I don't know how I got on that list, because these were big shots. But I want to tell you, the heartbeat that she had on this is that if I get enough big shots, and little shots, I guess, but enough big shots to pray over me, then it's bound to happen. I told her. I said, let me tell you something. I count it an honor that you did call me. I said, but let me tell you something. The same Jesus that's in me is in you. And we had quite a conversation about that, because she had no concept of that. But I'm telling you, the very same Jesus that was in the Apostle Paul, very same Jesus that was in the Apostle Peter, very same Jesus in James Scherer, Don Shipley, is in you. You have the full measure of God in your spirit. And I want to tell you, the same power, The same resurrection power. And so our part is to let Jesus be himself. Okay? We do need each other. There's times that we need each other, and Jesus made provision of that. There's times that, man, Tim's been in such a mess that I can't connect on my own. I'm just, you know, I'm getting whooped. And so that's where he asked us to go ask for prayer. Okay? Look, Sunday mornings, we pray over people every Sunday morning, 10:10. You know, there's not very many people that show up for that. I'm thinking to myself, is this all the people that need prayer? Thank God for those that come, but I guarantee you, if we were to interview everybody else, somebody would say, yeah, I have something to pray about. Well, get your sweet self down here and ask for it. Yeah. There's something in the asking. Well, I'm sick. Bring the sick. That's what the Bible says. When we get in a mess, okay, we have each other in the body of Christ. And I want to tell you, it's sweet that he has made provision for us, that he says, ask. And confess your faults to one another. Let's be honest and open. And you know what? They'll lay their hands on the sick and pray an effectual prayer, and they will be healed. Amen. Now, that's God's word. That's God's way. And so thank God that he's made a provision for us on that. But I want to tell you something. The first thing you ought to do is to seek the Lord yourself. Amen. Even before you reach for a pill. Or call the doc. We need to be reaching out to him. Okay, let's spread out the net. You have as much Jesus in your spirit as anybody else. Let's learn how to receive. Let's learn how to receive. Because it's not just for you. It is for you. But it's not just for you. Is for others. Okay? He wants that. You want that. Let's practice being what his grace has provided for us to be. Let's practice doing what his grace has provided for us to do. And all the people said. Amen. People are coming for prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for the power of your word. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, any blockages that come against us to disqualify from us this truth, I just renounce it in the name of Jesus. I pray against every doubt, speculation, unbelief. And I declare the word of God to be true. And I declare in the name of Jesus a witness in the spirit and soul and body of everybody here that Jesus is Lord and the word of God is true. And that we can receive. Lord, I pray that you would raise up warriors out of this church to stand on your word and to battle back and not be intimidated, not be condemned, but to know the truth that we're free to receive and we're free to fight back and we're free to persevere in prayer and in battle for the conflict to come to overwhelming victory. Lord, I pray that there be a fresh hope rise up in your people for victory and for abundance, for the fresh and new that you paid for to be real, active, available in our life for others to see your goodness. And I give you praise. We pray this over our church. We pray this over our families, every individual. Lord, we claim your best for us in this year. That, Lord, as we multiply the kingdom in our own life, that you will build the church. And we'll just give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Come for prayer. Come for ministry. We're going to seek the Lord.